Greetings to all of you this morning in Jesus' name, precious name of Jesus. Glad to be here with you and worship together with you this morning. If you could bear with me, my voice isn't very strong this morning, but I think it's strong enough for this message. Please open your Bibles to First Peter. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin this morning by reading this chapter. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things that angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. A beautiful, beautiful scripture. And so full of spiritual truth. You may have noticed the signs on the front two benches on either side this morning. And they say reserved the seats reserved. So I see that no one has taken those spots. I would like to think about that this morning. If you noticed in verse 4, that word reserved is in the verse 4. And that's the title of my message this morning, is reserved. Notice the phrase, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with reserved seats. And I suppose the first time that I really remember reserved seats has to do with Bible school. And I remember when we would go to Numidia Bible School for the closing program. My dad was there, led the course some terms, but since we were his sons, we usually had a spot where we would sit. And I remember the signs that were put in the auditorium, and there were some seats that were reserved. Some were reserved. The cooks always had reserved seats, because most of the time they were still cleaning up supper and putting that away, and the auditorium was filling out rather rapidly at that point, at that time. So they had reserved seats as well. I remember if you've ever been there to Numidia Bible School, you know where the balcony is and what a vantage point you have if you could sit up there for the closing program. And the front row, of course, was the row of choice. And there was always attempts by people to reserve those seats. And you would you'd go up there and you put your Bible on that desk, and hopefully that reserved your seat for you. Well, it didn't always work, but I had the privilege to sit there one time. But this morning, as we think about reserved, something that's reserved, this is something far, far above a seat for a special meeting or a program, or even on a Sunday morning, if you had a reserved seat, that would be special. But this is far, far more wonderful. Well, we'd like to look at this in this morning. Reserved. Let's think about what is reserved. First of all, what is reserved? What does the scripture tell us is reserved? Well, if you look at verse 4, the verse says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. So I think as I study that, inheritance is what's reserved. There's an inheritance reserved. And look at this inheritance. Look at what the description of this inheritance is. Incorruptible. In other words, we deal with corruptible things all the time. Things that decay. Things that get old, that wear out, that rust, that mold. This is something that's not like that. It's incorruptible. It will not change in any way. It's secure. It can't be tampered with. It can't be defiled. That's the next word. It's undefiled. It's pure. It's holy. And that fades not away. It's not a mirage. It's not something that as you get close to it, then it just disappears. But it doesn't fade away. This inheritance. Just a few scriptures that I think teach us a little more about this inheritance. And if you could turn with me to those. Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. This is a benediction that Paul gives to the church at Ephesus as he leaves them. Verse 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So this inheritance is among those that are sanctified. Acts 26, verse 18. This is Paul's own account of what happened to him on the way to Damascus. When the light shone about him and he met Jesus, and Jesus talked to him. Acts 26 and verse 18, Jesus says to him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So I think this verse really opens up what this inheritance is. And that it is a freedom from Satan, from the power of Satan. It's forgiveness of sins. It's freedom from darkness. And it's being with God. It's light. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. So that's a bit on what is reserved. Now let's think about where is this reserved? Where is this reservation? Well, the answer, again, is right in the verse. Verse 4 here in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's reserved in heaven. This is a heavenly reservation. This is not something that's earthly. It's not something that we can put a sign on a bench here and have. This is something in heaven. And so there's no person that can do that, because it's heavenly. I came in this morning and put those signs on, and I didn't know who I would ask to sit there or who it was reserved for. I didn't really have anybody in mind. But I can't do that for you in heaven. You can't do that for me. Because it's in heaven. Well, then who reserved this? Who made this reservation? If we look in verse 3, we can see what Peter writes here. The inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. Peter wrote that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." And so I think it's God. It's God the Father who has made that reservation. And he has done it through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so Jesus has made that reservation. By his offering himself. You know, there's other words that we can use to describe this reservation. In verse 3, it talks about the lively hope. And that lively hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when you think about all of that together, Jesus, God's Son, doing the will of his Father, made the reservation. And that reservation is here in heaven. There is a place for you eternally, eternal life. Well, I just told you now whose is the reservation. And that's in verse 3 as well. It's reserved in heaven for you. And that's what we like to think about for most of the time. It's reserved in heaven for you. I notice that there is more that Peter writes. In verse 5, he says, who, in other words, it's reserved for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That seat, those two seats there are kept. They're kept by those papers that are on the bench there. No one sat there. Everyone knew that that's reserved. You don't sit there. It's for someone else. It's just for the ones that have the reservation, whoever it is. And so, this reservation in heaven, the scripture says that it's for those who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, there's a little further in the chapter, there's a few words that the apostle uses that help us to know more about who this is for. Verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things and so on. But the word there is redeemed. It's for this reservation is for the redeemed. Those that are redeemed. Redeemed from what? Redeemed from, what did we read there in Acts? From darkness to light. Redeemed from the power of Satan unto God. And the ones that have received the forgiveness of sins through that redemption. We have redemption. And this redemption, of course, is those that are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, in verse 19. That's who this is reserved. That's who this is reserved for. Another verse, verse 23, being born again. This is reserved for those that are born again, this inheritance. You're born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, it's not of the power of men, but it's the power of God that reserves that place for us. Now, back to verse 5, verse 5. It here says that this is reserved for those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And that word salvation, we talked about this, that there's salvation from what? Salvation has to there has to be a need for salvation. Well, we talked about it's salvation from death, eternal death, and from the power of Satan, who God has given the power of death. Terrible. That sentence that hangs over all of us. But the salvation is we think primarily, first of all, we think of our salvation of our souls. And Peter mentions that here in verse 9. He says, receiving the end of your salvation, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And he goes on to say that this is the salvation that the Bible's all about. The prophets, they have prophesied. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. This was the promise that God gave in the garden to Adam and Eve. He told Eve that of your seed there's going to be one that will bruise the serpent's head, crush the serpent's head. And in all of that, that salvation, not only were the prophets, not only did they inquire and they wrote about it and they wondered how this was all going to work out, when this was going to happen, but the angels also. The end of verse 12, the angels desire to look into this, the salvation that God provides for people. And what is it about people that God, that's different than the angels? There's other scriptures we could look at that talk about something that's reserved for some of the angels. The angels, there's something very special about this reservation. The angels wonder. They want to look into this. What is this? What is God doing here? Well, this reservation is also for those who gird up the loins of their mind. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is something serious that takes some effort, some focus. Gird up the loins of your mind, be focused. Concentrate on the goal, eternal life, by faith through Jesus Christ. Be sober. Life is real, life is earnest. Be sober. We have an enemy. The power of Satan wants to rob us of that inheritance. Wants to rob us of that seat. And hope. Verse 13 there. Be sober and hope. Hope. Hope to the end. So we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And we hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's just a number of references here to Jesus coming. In verse 5, it says there, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the salvation, the fullness of it, is going to be revealed in the last time to see what we're actually saved from. By faith, we believe and we understand that we have the sentence of death upon us, and that unless we reach out, accept the gift of salvation, then we have eternal death awaiting us. But at the last time, we'll be able to see that. And verse 7. The end of verse 7 might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So let's be steadfast. And then in verse 13 as well, mentions there the revelation of Jesus Christ. So at that time, faith, the psalm writer writes it this way, that faith will vanish into sight. And hope, which we have now, hope be emptied in delight. So there's more than just girding up the loins of our mind. More than the focus. You know, as we are living in the world, we relate to people. We have to relate to people. We do. God made us that way. We can get a lot more done when we work together. But Paul gives us Peter writes some instruction here for us. First of all, he says that you don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust. That's in verse 14. You don't fashion yourself according to the former lust. Don't follow those desires that take you down. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. But we're going to be holy. See, instead of following what Satan has to offer and what the flesh wants, we choose to follow God, follow God's way. Now, we can't do that in our own power. We have to be born again. Born of God. Born of the Word of God. And then we are holy. Verse 15. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy, for I am holy. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So this is God's work in our hearts, that as we're born again, and our heart is made new, we have the renewed mind, and we're a new creature in Christ. God's love is in our hearts, and it goes out. It flows out. But Peter tells us here that we need to pay attention to this, that the love keeps going out. Verse 22, at the end it says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. So how is it? How are you doing? How am I doing? In the love for my brothers, in the love for my neighbors, for my family, for my wife, for my husband. Am I loving them fervently? Loving them the way God wants me to love them. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Verse 23, we're going to run out of power pretty soon if we try to do this on our own strength. But just in the same source of power that God provides for us to be born again, the Word, you see in verse 23, being born again by the Word of God, that's the same power that keeps that love flowing out It's the Word of God. So we need to be reading God's Word every day. Make it part of our lives. Because that's what will endure forever. Verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Just a few scriptures that shows there is another reservation. You know, the reservation in heaven, God is not willing that any perish. So I think there's a place reserved for every soul. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. But as we looked here, God is holy. And so just as he has reserved a place for those angels that rebelled, that went along with Satan in rebellion and lifting themselves up against God. Jude 1:6 mentions this, but just turn here in 1 Peter now, or 2 Peter, 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. So for those angels and for the unjust, there's a judgment reserved. Jude. Verse 6 talks about the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then verse 13, he mentions these that are wicked, the filthy dreamers, those that speak evil of things that which they know not. Verse 12, there are spots in your feasts of charity. And so on. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Job 21:30, the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. So there's a reservation for the wicked, for the wicked. There's a reservation for all those that are not redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. For all of those who are not born again by the power of God through faith. All those who do not have a renewed mind. Turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 10 for the closing scripture. First Peter 1 and verse 10. I'm sorry. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But do you have a reservation? Yes. There's a reservation for you. A reservation in heaven. But just like Jesus told the story about the man who made a supper. And he invited guests to this supper. And when the supper was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests that it's to come. It's ready now, you come. But what did they have? They had excuses. One said, I just got married. Another one said, I have just bought some land. And the other one said, I have just bought some oxen. But did that stop the man from serving? No, it didn't stop him from serving his supper. He told the servants, now you go out into the fields and the country lanes and you just compel people to come in so that my house is full. I'm not sure how God's going to do it, but he's going to have his house full. Whether or not we're there is really up to our choice, whether or not we take that reservation that he has for us. So do you have a reservation? Yes. But don't try to fly on standby to get there. Let's kneel in prayer.